SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Donnie Wrightside,
money talks, man. If you're going to double, triple, or quadruple your salary by doing it just for 1 year, it's like, hey, you know, I'm 35, 40, my tour card's running out here. Let me see if I can just make a living here as long as this lasts.
And Scott Wetzel.
Yeah, so much for pitching much better at home, right? We put the black cloud on him. Still think the Cardinals are live. You get them at plus 215. If you like St. Louis, this is one of the beauties of in-game live. You're betting not only the game, but the total and everything, but you're getting the sequence and what's going on
SiriusXM channel 159.
You heard the intro. We are ready to rock and roll here on a Friday. This is Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside along with Scott Wetzel, cruising into the weekend here on the Sports Grid Network. And as always, Scott, it's Friday. It feels good. We're ready for the weekend. How you doing, my guy?
I got another lesson on how you can't beat the boys in Vegas, Donnie. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You just can't win. You can have fun trying, but you just can't win. Well, if you remember yesterday, what I tell you, I absolutely love the over in these games in the French Open, right? We gave the winner out with Nadal and then Joker 2 days ago. So Nadal's take on Zverev, good matchup, right? One's three seed, one's five seed. Zverev actually has won three of the last four versus Rafi. I said, there's just no way in the world this is not going to go 38 games. I mean, it's impossible. Someone would have to sweep and win in straight sets, and that's just not happening. And, you know, you're not in the semifinals, right? So what happens? We get the gift. We get a 7-6 first set. That's even better than the 6-4 that we were kind of counting on. I mean, see, we got 13 games. It's easy. They're in the second set. It's 6-6. I mean, we're already at 25. We're looking at 26 because someone's going to win the second set. So we're at 26. We're there. We're done. Cash to take it. Should have tripled the bet. Quadrupled the bet.
And that's the way it is.
And then the black cloud. Oh, no, it's not over. No. The story has just begun. The story has just begun. That's when the Wetzel black cloud strikes and struck. Zverev turns his ankle. Damn near breaks it. He's done. He's got to quit. And the match is over, and we lose the bet. It goes under 37.5 because he didn't finish.
A retirement.
A retirement.
Stuff to factor it in, right?
Unbelievable.
It is. The injuries always help the unders, and again, it seems like they happen at the absolute worst moments, no doubt about it. And quite frankly, I always like to equate sports, you know, from Major League Baseball to the NFL to the NBA. Last night, I went to sleep late third quarter, and I said, do I really have to watch any more of this? Like, I got an early show I got to wake up for. Are you going to start planning it out? Golden State won up for the Boston Celtics, and that's what's going to be written. What's that new price going to be? And I woke up and checked my phone for the scores. I had to do a double take and see that the Celtics put up 40 in the fourth quarter to run over Golden State in their own building, Scott, when we were thinking, hey, in the fourth quarter, you know who's going to be tired? Not the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be the Celtics. That wasn't the case last night. My goodness, like a blown bullpen, you know, lead that you would have in Major League Baseball collapse and burns. The Celtics win by double digits.
Amazing. Amazing. And you could have got the Celtics, you know, me and Dane were talking about this at night. You know, we're always kind of like doing fake bets on laying 9.5, 10, because all these games are being decided by 10 points or more. Over half have been decided by double digits. So if you would have done that last night, you could have gotten yourself basically 5-1 as it is now at 5-1 in game two. So I'm sure it would have been about the same for game one. So I've just been both sides laying 9.5 points. You'll cash a winning ticket. Just remarkable turnaround. You saw it happening, and you're like, okay, you kept on expecting Golden State to hit a couple of shots. I mean, but one clunk of their offense just shut down, Don. It just everything they were doing great. They just played isolation basketball, and the shots weren't falling. And Boston was hitting shots. I mean, Al Horford, back-to-back threes. Marcus Smart, back-to-back threes. I mean, just like, wow. Unbelievable turnaround. Unbelievable.
Closing out the building there. And also, I did see the FanDuel Sportsbook retweet somebody. I don't know when this was placed in the game, but took the Celtics at 11 or more points. It was like plus 23, I don't know, 230-1, whatever. $75 wager, which returned $17,000. So kudos to people out there firing away at the best possible moments. And I, actually, you know, 11 plus there. They win by 12. My goodness, that guy's sweating that one out down the line. Oh, no, can we hold on? Can we keep this double-digit lead at 12 or more? And absolutely came up with that. But we're going to talk a lot today about the NBA Finals, particularly Game 1, what we saw, how that can possibly translate over to Game 2, which is going to be on Sunday at 8 p.m. Huge Major League Baseball card today will certainly hit. We'll talk some NHL hockey and also... I don't want to waste any time before this break here, but the Philadelphia Phillies stepped up to the plate and said status quo isn't working out here, and Joe Girardi, yeah, Joe must go. So that's another topic that we'll talk about. Also having some fun today talking about, you know, 60-day quarter poll, Major League Baseball divisions, who's in the lead, who has the odds for the lead on those, who do you think can actually come back, and most importantly here, taking your phone calls today on a Friday, anything you have that you want to talk about on a Friday, or you have something interesting set up this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, or quite frankly, just talking sports with both myself and Scott. That is 844-843-6879. So a lot of stuff going on and fun, and as KW's out there just chilling in California, I want to say his Lakers have signed a new coach, and it's official. It's Darvin Ham. Any thoughts quickly here on Darvin Ham? Does that move the needle for you, Scott?
No, it does not. And I want to see Darvin Ham discipline LeBron James when he shows up to practice, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes late. What a joke. You might as well have gotten green eggs and ham to be the head coach.
Green eggs and ham. Take control, Darvin Ham, out there. Let's get a winning team back on the court for Los Angeles. Well, this is Moneyline. It's Friday. We're coming right back after the break, and it's a whole lot of fun ahead. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday afternoon right here on the grid. It's Moneyline, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside here till 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get in the mix, please do. 844-843-6879. We'll talk Joe Girardi. We'll talk Major League Baseball. But obviously, fresh on the minds of everybody, the Boston Celtics coming away with a 120-108 victory over the Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of that series. And a lot of prices have shifted. A lot of minds have shifted here because, quite frankly, Golden State Warriors enter into the fourth quarter with a double-digit lead and get smoked 40-16 in the fourth quarter. And I think I actually said this and made it a point to say this. And Scott, it was basically, hey, by the way, if Jason Tatum has like a bad game, you know, 14, 15 points, there's no way the Celtics are going to win. And quite frankly, the series is probably going to be already be on tilt. Jason Tatum scores 12 points and the Celtics still win by 12 points. Amazingness. Never ceases to believe that I see some of these things that happen here, Scott.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I was watching the Steve Kerr, or not Steve Kerr. Well, I was watching him too, but the Steph Curry press conference. Mm-hmm. And he talked for about, like a good 10, 15 minutes, usual questions and blah, 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 blah. You know, gave credit where credit was due and everything else. And then after being asked like the same thing basically over and over again, you get kind of tired of what you're saying and you kind of let your guard down. And this was, it came literally in like the final minute of him talking to the media for 15 minutes. And this is in essence really what the Golden State Warriors are thinking. And really everybody is probably thinking, but they just don't want to say it because it sounds bad. And that is Donnie. He let his guard down and he said, you know what? They had a couple of guys that had career games. And it's just like, you know what? That's the $100 cut. That's, you know, and rather than, you know, before he was talking about, yeah, you know, Horford and Derek White, and, you know, they were open and then we didn't do the adjustments right and we can't leave them all, you know, all these little things, you know. But you knew in the back of his mind, he was thinking they had a couple of guys that just had career games and that's just not going to happen again. So I'm comfortable we're going to win. And that's really what it was last night. And then that's how you can win with Jason Tatum or with Tatum, you know, playing so poorly, you know, shooting the ball 3 of 17. You know, if you get Horford, if you get Derek White to pump in 20 points apiece, yep, that'll make up for the lack of Tatum points. But you're not going to get that every single game. So if Tatum continues to play like dog, you know what, then the Celtics won't win because Horford's not going for 20-plus and Derek White's not going for 20-plus every single time. So,
yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the Golden State's approach to this thing. They had a couple of career games out of guys. It is what it is. No big deal.
And also, you take a look at 51% from three-point range on the road for the Boston Celtics. And that wasn't like, hey, they went 5 of 10 from three-point range.
No, it was
range.
Those two guys. Those two guys. What, 11 of 17? I mean, it was unbelievable, their shooting. I mean, it was just like, You know, what do? You leave them open and then say, okay, we can live with ourselves, or do you really guard those guys and not double team Tatum and not double team Brown? You know, you got to kind of pick your poison. And I don't think, you know, people are talking about what kind of adjustments they need to make and this and that. I don't think they need to make any. I really don't. I just, you know what? If Horford and White go for 20-plus points every game, they're better than we are. Simple as that. But you can't let Tatum go off, and you can't let, Brown go off.
Yeah, it was just like Jordan Poole, like back when he was still in that starting
right,
lineup.
Exactly.
Well, if you're going to get 30 points out of Poole and, 25 out of Thompson and 25 out of Curry or 30, you're not going to beat them. So if those guys are going to be able to make shots at that clip, because if you're looking at the two superstars, right, for the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum, 3 of 17 from the floor, Brown, 10 of 23. The other starters, 9 of 12, 4 of 4, and 7 of 11. And you're right, Derek White off the bench, 6 of 11 from the field, but also 5 of 8 from three-point range. That's the one I got right yesterday. Keep on riding that, Derek White wave, that secondary option, which hit. The only thing I missed on there was Jason Tatum only getting 5 rebounds as opposed to his 7.5 he needed to clear. But my goodness, 13 assists on the night here. 33 total assists, Scott, from the Golden State Warriors, from the Boston Celtics here. That certainly helped out. That ball was moving around and shots were wide open and going down.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing for Tatum. At least he was smart enough to pass the ball. He got his 13 assists. So he was moving the ball, left and right. And the other thing for Golden State, Donnie, was, outside. Let's just say, Boston didn't have the performances they got from the two guys. Who really played well for Golden State? All right, I'll take the 20 points out of Wiggins every night. That was pretty good. And you got 34 out of Steph, obviously. But you're not going to win this series with Klay Thompson getting 15 points. You're not going to win the series with Looney only getting 4 and Green only getting 4. Those two, more importantly, combining for only 8. Iguodala played 12 minutes. Porter got 12, but in 24 minutes, he played half the game. So where was the other guy? Where were those secondary guys that were supposed to step up and be the difference? The secondary guys for Boston did the better job. As simple as that. And it's up to Clay. Listen, we've seen him not be really the old Clay Thompson. And that's kind of the problem with this goal. It's 6 of 14 for 15 points in a game which they were crying out for some help for scoring in that fourth quarter. And he was nowhere to be found. He's got to do better than that. They're not going to win with him getting 15 points.
Yeah, he really needs to step up as well. But also, when you take a look at some of these games and how they start to play out, like you hear all the Steph Curry, background noise, MVP, no MVP, he can't ever get it done in the finals, which is ridiculous. He's got a pretty good playoff record as it goes. So he goes off in the first quarter. And usually as a gambler, we watch these games and go, it's one of those where Steph is just going to shoot the lights out and there's nothing the Boston Celtics can do. And then you look up at the end of the first quarter, Boston's only down 4. Fast forward to halftime, Boston has the lead. So you felt some of that momentum saying, okay, Boston, we felt it. We got your surge at home. We have the lead. But then what threw me off and threw most people off is you saw the big third quarter. Adjustments made by Kerr. Shots going down here for the Golden State Warriors. 38-24, which gives them a double-digit lead heading into the fourth. And this is the reason where, sometimes you get thrown off a little bit. We talk in that Rangers-Lightning series, game one. You say to yourself, oh, hold on. The team that's supposed to have the legs in the third period should have been the Lightning, or how long they were off, but not the case. The momentum carried forward. And the same thing here with the Golden State Warriors. You would think if they're up 12 here entering into the fourth quarter, they got the fresh legs. They're at home. This should be a closeout where Boston's like, hey, we'll try in the first couple minutes, Scott, to see if we can close this margin. But if not, we're better off just headed to the bench and seeing what we can do in game two. But they did. They took it right to the Golden State Warriors, made their shots, 40-16 fourth quarter. That was impressive.
Yeah, it's the same players want to play. Two cases, you're right, with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay and now Golden State. Now, I don't know if that played a role or not. Tampa Bay, I think it did. They looked like garbage against the Rangers game one. I don't know if you could say that necessarily with Golden State since they were leading after 3. But, two cases where the team had a week off and change, and then they both ended up losing the game. And both kind of ugly for different reasons. But it does seem weird that Golden State would be able to come out flying and then just not have anything in the fourth. I mean, just nothing. I mean, 16 points outscored by 24, set a record for most points being outscored in a quarter, or tied a record anyway, for an NBA Finals game. You never in a million years, right, would you ever predict that with a Steph Curry-led team? But that was the case. I mean, just crazy. I would have liked to have known the question if I'm a player. You have 3 days off now. Next game isn't until Sunday. Do you wish it was like Saturday? You want to get back out there? Or do you think it's wise to have a couple of extra days off and not play again until Sunday to kind of figure out what went wrong? As a player, I think I'd want to get right back out there. I'd be so pissed if I'm the Warriors. And I am surprised, Donnie, that the line is only 4.
Yeah.
And, like, if you want to bring up the hockey thing, right, Tampa Bay loses game one. They're a minus 125 favorites. They're an even bigger favorite in game two. They're up to 135. Whereas the Warriors lose game one as the, you know, the better team, perceived better team, and yet they're only a four-point favorite. And I get the sense, like, they really probably wanted that to go to 3.5. I think that wasn't just one win. That was a credibility shot in the arm win. You know, because Golden State's got to win game two. Otherwise, the series is, for all intents and purposes, over, right? And yet they still only made them a four-point favorite. They're buying into even further, the Celtic team. No two ways about it.
Yeah, sharp money there, obviously, coming in on the Boston Celtics in game one, rightfully so. Looked like the Joe Public out there was running wild for three quarters but wasn't able to hold up. But I think you're correct here. Looking at game two, which in the second hour of the show today, we're going to talk a lot about game two, go over some prop bets, see what might make some sense on that game Sunday night. But you're right. If you look and say, well, Warriors blew that lead, turns into a, even though you don't always win since it's a must-win situation, but a minus four for me, Scott, showing a lot of respect, certainly for the Boston Celtics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? I mean, because, like I said, with Tampa Bay, the line went up, and this line did not go up. So, and you got to think Golden State knows they have to win. And you know, are the Celtics really going to go up 2-0? Wow. I'm surprised that line's that low.
My goodness. We thought it would be a long series. Maybe not so long if the Celtics can get a win on Sunday night. This is Moneyline Friday afternoon. It's Donnie and Scott. Join us once again after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending the weekend stop. Grid Moneyline, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside along with Scott Wetzel. Talking some NBA action. We'll switch it over here in just a few moments to Major League Baseball with some breaking news here on Joe Girardi being let go by the Philadelphia Phillies and also that Major League Baseball card. But gambling yesterday, we talked about some of the odds boost. And I actually did take the odds boost with Klay Thompson to score 5 or more points and the first quarter to have 50 or more points. Yes. Now, here's the interesting part. Take the bet and I watch it. And I do this so many times because I can't stand sometimes the way these odds boosts are worded here. And it makes sense and you should know. So I'm laying down, I'm watching the game on the couch. I'm like, all right, this is good. See Klay Thompson knock down a three. So I'm saying to myself, not paying attention, all right, I need one more three-point shot here to go down. And this is going to really work out well. You know, scoring pace is good. Let's go, Klay. So I see Lays went in for 5. And my thought process goes back to how it was worded. 5 or more points, which I've done this so many times, not thinking correctly. 5 or more, which means he needs 5.5 points or more, which means 6, when it doesn't. So I sit there like, look at this. They just subbed Klay Thompson out. He's only got 5 points, Scott. You got to be kidding me. Man, are they real sharp on these numbers than 5. And I just said to myself, now hold on. It's 5 or more points, Donnie. He's already got it in the bag here, so that ticket ends up cashing. But I can't tell you how many times I read a bet and sometimes say, I know exactly what it is, and then later in the day I'm like, what was that actually? Oh, he needed 6, Scott. I can't believe it. No, he needed 5, and the plus 220 came in.
You know, I heard you say that one time yesterday, and, you know, you don't necessarily need to correct the, you know, whenever you like, you misspeak. And I just figured, okay, you know, he meant to say 5, no big deal. So I didn't know if you thought it was. And then the other thing is sometimes you see that 5+. So 5+, if you're really being technical, means 6.
Yes.
It doesn't mean 5. It means 5+, which is, you know, you can't get a half a point. So it means 6, realistically. So, but I did, yeah, I did see that, and I thought of you when that one cashed. The other one that they had up there, this was a tough one. My boy had it last night.
Yeah,
35. Will anybody score 35
that's not right.
points?
Steph with 20 in the first.
21 in the first quarter. You know, and I was busting his chops, and I'm telling him, man, you got to hedge, you got to hedge, because they were posting 38.5. They posted as high as 41.5 in-game line. I said, Dane, you got to hedge. No, 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 he's got 21 after one. There's no way he's not getting 35. I was like, all right, you know, I've seen this stuff. You know, I don't want to pee on your parade, but okay, you know. And then he didn't score in the second quarter. Now he's at 21 at halftime. And I'm like, you better hedge. No, 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 no. And lo and behold, he gets 34 points. And he had 2 shots at it in the closing minutes. The one bucket was waved off on a Draymond Green foul, and the other one he just missed a couple of bunny layup attempts. So I got real lucky. I had over 4.5 rebounds, Steph. Mm-hmm. Same thing. He had 4 rebounds in the first quarter. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there thinking the same thing. You know, we're both, you know, trying to watch this thing like it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And he finally got a rebound with like 35 seconds left for his 5th rebound on that long outlet pass. So it's like, wow, I was able to cash, but Dane was not. Boy, just another example, right, of a bet. It's just never over. It's never like the tennis today, man. It is never over until it's actually in.
Yeah, if you get that crystal ball and you say to yourself, okay, let's just see if a guy can get 35 points in this game. And I'm like, you know what, Scott, I'm going to tell you right now. Steph Curry is going to drop 7 3-point shots, and he's actually going to shoot 25 times in this game. You say, oh, man, we are going to hit this easy. And, of course, if you rolled over in the morning and checked it and you saw 34 points was the leader, that's certainly damaging stuff. Now, also, same-game parlays, which they run quite a bit here in the NBA Finals, $20 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, got to be at least, I believe, 4-1. And if you lose it, they give you the money back. So yesterday, I said, all right, let me make up a fun one here. So I went in $20, cheap, 9-1. Let me just have some fun. Bet it, forget it, and see what happens here. Well, here we go. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I put a 12, I guess, player, not team parlay, together for this. I needed Andrew Wiggins to get 10 or more points. Got it.
Got
needed
it.
Steph Curry to get 20 or more points. Gets it done
got
in the
it.
First quarter. Steph Curry to record 4.5 assists or more. Hits that one here. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry. 2 or more made 3-point shots. Within the first moments of the game, he knocks that down. Klay Thompson wasn't great. I just needed him to make 2 3-point shots yesterday. He went 3 of 7, hit that one. How about this? Jaylen Brown, over 15.5 points. Got that one. Draymond, over 3.5 assists. He hits that one as well. Al Horford's rebound total, over 5.5. Check. Kevon Looney, over 5.5 rebounds. Check. And Marcus Smart get 2 steals or more. Check. You know who let me down yesterday? Jason Tatum to score 20 points. Like one of those where even though he 8 points at the break, whatever he had, I'm like, that's come on, man. He's going to shoot 15 times in the second half and cash in that ticket here. He's the only guy that let me down. Thank you, Jason Tatum. But this is what it is. You can't expect to, you know, 11, 12, 13 hook parlays out here and come up big. I almost did it, though. I almost did it, Scott.
Well, I'm afraid to even ask, but how much would that have paid? I know those numbers were a little bit lower than their real numbers.
Yeah, it was like $1.90. It was like $20 to win $1.90. So it would have been like one of those throwaway things where, hey, well, I got a little bit extra money in my account. What happened? Oh, by the way, you hit that 11 or 12 team parlay yesterday. Fantastic. It was plus 891 because a lot of those were alt numbers, but still all lined up there, ready to go. Yeah. Oh, man.
And that would have been the one at the beginning, like you wouldn't even have like really thought. Like maybe some of those others okay, but then, you know,
Like Marcus Smart,
like
2 steals. Come on. Like,
yeah.
He only got 1. Why did I do that? I should have never had that one. But Jason Tatum to get 20 points in that game when his points prop was listed at 28. Oh, yeah. Some of those we just watched and be like, I wanted that to happen.
Yeah, I had one. They offered a boost. Klay Thompson, 2 assists. I figured, okay, you can get that in your sleep. Andrew Wiggins, 15 points. Okay, he gets 20. Marcus Smart, 4 rebounds. He's good for that. He had it. Al Horford, over 2.5 assists. He got that. And then Grant Williams to record 4 rebounds. And
he
got 3. 10.5-1.
Man.
Yeah, he came up 1 freaking short. 1 short. Man. So
that is the way it falls. That's the way it goes down at that point.
It's just the more you add on to these numbers that you think they should be able to get if you bet them straight up. But, you know, odds are the more you add on, one of these guys is just not going to, you know, come through. So that was my bad one there.
Yeah, some of those wagers look so, so easy and certainly come up with, oh, just missed out. And usually it's the one that's your anchor that says, this is the one that can't lose. This is the one I'm most confident in. All of a sudden you're watching that going, I can't believe that this one didn't get over the hump. If anybody out there made any wagers last night that they loved, that they hated, or anything coming into play this weekend, 844-843-6879. We'll flip over to some Major League Baseball talk. Joe Girardi and the Philadelphia Phillies. I think this might be the worst-kept secret in baseball. Win or lose, oh, every game he's going to have to save his job. The writing on the wall was there, even though you get the kiss of death from the front office, where like 2 weeks ago, they usually tell you, like, man, look, I know you guys are asking about Girardi. He's not going anywhere this year. Like, uh-oh. Start getting out the notebooks and the pen pads and get ready, because Joe Girardi was let go earlier today from the Philadelphia Phillies. Interim manager now in place. And I guess, Scott, that means the bullpen's going to pitch better. The fielding's going to get much better just because one guy was sent home who actually doesn't play.
Yeah, and they're all going to get healthier and everything else, you know. And oddly enough, it came after a win, you know, which I know they've been scuffling a little bit. They lost five in a row, but they actually did beat the Giants their last game. So the poor man gets fired after a win. and they got a big-time series coming up as well with Trout coming to town. And, you know, they're going to honor him. You know, Trout and Bryce Harper have only played in four games against each other.
You know,
one guy's been out or injured or whatever the case may be. So this would have been one of them as long as Harper can play tonight. But they kind of steal the limelight on that. Listen, I'm not a big Joe Girardi fan, not a basher of his, but I don't think managers are really that big a difference. I don't think all of a sudden these guys, the bullpen's going to turn into the greatest bullpen since mankind. I don't think that's the case. But he's had 3 years, and really – whenever you bring in a new guy, Donnie, and they brought in Dombrowski, mm-hmm. 2 years ago?
Yes.
He didn't hire Girardi. You know, that's a bad – change is a bad thing. No matter what – I said this morning on the morning show that I host. Change is a bad thing for everybody, not just that one individual show or aspect of a business. You know, it just throws everything into, disarray. They had a change. New management came in, basically – and they said, all right, we'll give you a shot. And they did give him a shot. And things don't look like they're going to change much this year. But that's never a good sign when the guy who hired you is no longer there.
Yeah, the old adage goes, I mean, it's very easy to change the manager. Pretty hard to change the million-dollar athletes on the field. So hopefully they light a fire under their butt. But I guess, you know, if you have to fire the manager to get somebody to pitch better, hit better, or go out there and field better, you're probably in the wrong field at that point. Now, yesterday, Yankee Stadium, the Angels can't hit. And the Yankee Stadium is one of the best places in baseball to hit. But good pitching by the Yankees certainly settled that down. The Angels scored one run in game one of the doubleheader yesterday, Scott. One run in game two. And the topic that we were talking about yesterday, marquee pitching matchup in game one, or at least what we thought it was going to be, Shohei Ohtani versus Nestor Cortez, looking at the MVP race with Ohtani, looking at the AL Cy Young market. Nestor Cortez, after that performance yesterday in the Cy Young market, went from 11-1 and moved up to 8-1 after yesterday. Now, granted, every start that you have, good or bad, there's going to be a little bit of movement there based on how you're looking. Joe Verlander's been at plus 450 for a while, but Cortez moves up $3 yesterday into the spotlight, just behind one Gerrit Cole going today, Scott.
Wow, that is amazing. Can he actually win the Cy Young as just a forgotten person on that Yankees staff with Cole and Taillon and all the other big names? That would be funny. That really would be fun. It's kind of, though, like Robbie Ray. I think we pointed this out yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's thinking Robbie Ray is going to win the Cy Young? And he was able to overcome that stigma and then get the award. You know, so he's got to overcome the who's Nestor Cortez stigma and then continue to pitch well the entire year. But he might, in that position, Miles Michaelis, if you remember, a couple of years ago was in that with the St. Louis Cardinals, and I thought he should have gotten to Cy Young, and he didn't even come close. And the guy was like 19-3. So Urias last year for the Dodgers, same thing.
Crazy, too, because what happens if Gerrit Cole has a very good year and loses the Cy Young to Nestor Cortez? Who would have thought that coming into the season? But who would have thought on Moneyline we're talking about Girardi getting fired in June? Maybe me. Who knows? We'll be right back here. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Moneyline Friday, Sports Grid Network, Donnie Wrightside and Scott West. So if you want to get involved, having some fun with us on a Friday, that's 844-843-6879. Talking a little Major League Baseball here. Hour number two, we're going to dip our toes right back into the waters of the NBA Finals Game 2. But talking about some things that happened yesterday, a team on an 8-game win streak here in the AL East. And you say, oh, that's probably the Yankees. It's actually not the Yankees. It's the Toronto Blue Jays with an 8-3 victory over the White Sox. Another good performance there by Alek Manoah, 6-1 on the year, 1.98 ERA. For the young kid as they get back at it again today. But just looking at the Blue Jays, finally starting to turn that corner, Scott, which what we probably thought they were to begin the beginning of the year, but now showing up saying, we're here, we're hitting, and we're pitching.
Yep. Now, this is the Blue Jays team that we all expected that eventually would come, right? And maybe end up winning the division. I don't know. They got a little ways to go for that, but at least they're playing you know, some pretty good baseball now. Take out a Twinkies team that's lost four or five. So really, it's the perfect storm, Donnie. You got a team that's red hot, and you got a team that's ice cold. Twins losing four or five to Detroit, no less. Shut out back-to-back game. They lost three in a row. They got two runs, I think, over the last 30 innings. So, you know, I'm big on laying these runs and a half. I told you, you know, I try to find any spots where, you know, I'll get odds in my favor or at least bring a monster favorite down to, you know, even money, because 80%, 85% of these games are being decided by two runs or more. So I would have no qualms, you know, laying the run and a half with Toronto tonight, minus 114 against Minnesota.
Yeah, it looks like Chichi Gonzalez out there, too, on the mound. One of those guys I used to love
season
to fade over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Exactly. Season day, as they say, grand opening, grand closing probably for Chichi Gonzalez tonight in the city of Toronto. Also, keep in mind, an alert here, Phillies' Joe Girardi has been fired, but they are having a press conference. I guess, what, a feel-good press conference? What if Joe shows up at the press conference and, you know, everybody gets those well wishes and, hey, tomorrow you have a nice little paycheck wired into your account, the off on your way, and I guess that's the way it's going to go down, because he did an interview I saw. I believe this might have been on MLB Network on the radio, where right after he got fired, came on, hey, you know, what do you want me to do? I made a lot of money in my career, and we didn't perform that well, and I got shown the door. So he probably goes, where's he going next, Scott? TV? Like a little Tom Brady action? Hey, let's go to TV and make just as much money here.
Yeah, I think he wasn't, you know, he did a little spot in TV in between, you know, a couple of his gigs. So I fully expect, I'm sure the four-letter network will call him back up. You know, maybe even the Yankees, who knows? Maybe the Yankees will call him back up. But yeah, no doubt he'll be on TV if he wants to work, you know. Maybe we'll go to Fox or something like that for the postseason run. Question is, will he get a third chance? You know, after, well, really a fourth chance. He started with Miami. Yeah. You know, would another team, let's forget about the contract demands, you know, within reason. Would another team give him one more crack at this thing, Donnie? He's had a lot of good teams.
I do.
I mean, you know, he didn't win with the Yankees. And we won World Series with the Yankees. He had a lot of good teams, a lot of years. It was 10 straight years not winning. You know, Phillies throw him a chance. Would he get one more crack at it?
I think he does get one. Also, you talk about Joe Girardi, you know, obviously playing the game at a high level, being a Major League Baseball player. He was known as a player's manager and just not working out in Philadelphia, where you had, again, those rumblings, which were so odd in New York. We're not having a lot of fun over here. And so he asked Joe Girardi that question. What's he supposed to say? Okay, tomorrow, birthday cake, Carvel ice cream, you know, we'll have balloon. Like, what was he supposed to do with that comment?
It's more an indictment on the players than the managers, right? You know, I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, maybe it's got to be a veteran team, right? I mean, I don't know if you necessarily want to stick with him with a team that's kind of like up and coming or anything along those lines. So, you know, maybe there would be a team. You know, maybe if Tony La Russa ever retires with the White Sox, maybe the White Sox would be one. You know, I guess he'll probably get one more crack at it, I suppose. But he's had some decent teams. You know, you know, I think the philosophy now with these organizations, why pay a guy $3 million when we can pay a guy $1 million? And the guy paying $1 million is going to do whatever we want. So, you know, why spend a couple of extra $1 million on a manager if we really don't have to?
Yeah, we'll send you down the printouts here before the game. Here's the pitcher you want in this matchup. Here's your starting lineup. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hang out. You know, just make sure the guys are all happy. And, you know, you pull those strings during the game where they're already basically, okay, tablet, seventh inning. And you can hear them ruffling their papers. All right, that means, matchup. We got to go to this guy out of the bullpen at this point here. That's basically how it's run from now on, which is why you have all these odd lineups, because the analytics guys that are running the computers upstairs, they're giving you that information for the game. So you ask the manager, why did you bat him in the first position, second position, third position? They try to answer. They should just say, well, I was told to. That's why this guy's batting first here. Why didn't you shake the lineup up? I don't know. The guy's up top didn't tell me to shake the lineup just yet at this point. Talking about shaking a few things up, the Dodgers. How about this? Shaking it up and getting a victory over the New York Mets last night. 2-0. Gonsolin was sensational. How about Tony Gonsolin? 6-0 at a 1.59 ERA on the season. Only three hits by the Mets. And I guess you could say a bad omen started early in the day when Lindor banged his finger in a door and wasn't able to get to the game. They struggled, but the Dodgers picked up a W that they needed.
Do you believe that? I mean, I did have a nephew. You know,
was he throwing punches? What was he doing?
Yeah. You know, I did have a nephew have the door slam on his finger. But again, he was 8. He wasn't 28. So I don't know. You shut the door on your hand? Really? I mean, did you forget to take the hand off the end of the door when you were shutting it? I mean, how does that happen? I don't believe any of these stories. The Mets are the strangest team, between the managers being fired because goofy things mm-hmm. they're doing, you know, GMs mm-hmm. being fired, owners yep. being fired because of the goofy things they did with Maydon. You know, I mean, just weird. You know, then you had the fight last year, if you remember. Was it a fight? Was it a fight between, was it Lindor and the Rat? And I forget who the other
yes.
person was. Right?
Was it McNeil? It was another guy. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I mean, they had
fighting
so
over
many...
a raccoon or a rat. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
There was a raccoon in the dugout. What? You know, raccoon in the dugout. I mean, what a strange team they are. So the door gate now we have. So, but yeah, that's a good win by the Dodgers, right? I mean, you thought they would win after losing 3 yeah. in a row to Pittsburgh, but you never know. Listen, I think the Mets are still live dogs. I would play them. I like I told you yesterday, I try and play series. And to me, mm-hmm. the Mets are going to be dogs all 3 games. So I'll take my chances they can win at least one of these things. You walk away with at least breaking even, basically. But I like the Mets again tonight.
Yeah, dropped the W last night here. And looks like the Mets now still 9.5-game lead over the Atlanta Braves, who clubbed the Colorado Rockies out there in Denver. So obviously that rare air was helping out the offense for the Atlanta Braves. We'll see if that continues today. But quite frankly, over the last 3 games, I was talking this earlier today on the early line with Joe Ranieri. And I was like, hold on now. What is going on with this Colorado staff here? Each of the last 3 games, at least 10 runs or more that their staff has given up. But that's Coors Field. When people get hot out there and the weather gets a little bit better, that's what happens.
Think about this. 5 out of the last 9 games, Donnie, at least yeah. one of the 2 teams in the Colorado games have scored 10 runs or more. 13-6, 13-12, 14-1, 7-1, 6-5, 3-2, 13-7, 10-5. I mean, wow. You got to keep on for sure betting overs in Colorado. The runs and the hits are coming. No two ways about it. So. I bet it again today, to tell you the truth, no matter who's yeah. pitching, even though Fried's on the hill for the Braves tonight.
Certainly makes some sense here. And again, coming up here at 2:20, first game of the Major League Baseball card will get underway, and actually the only afternoon game today. St. Louis and the Chicago Cubs. Miles Michaelis will be on the mound today for the St. Louis Cardinals. Marcus Stroman for the Cubs. And let me just take a look here if we have some updated numbers. I just want to see where that total in that direction says. Okay, we're up to 8.5. It was 8 earlier today. And the only reason why I bring that up is, you know, 2 pitchers decent here. Michaelis having a decent year. Stroman, as we know, ground ball pitcher for the most part, but this is a 77-degree day, Scott, in Chicago with a wind that is blowing out double digits to right field. Now, typically, the prevailing wind, that 20-mile-an-hour blowing out dead center where no matter where you hit the baseball, the ball is traveling, still seems to me is a little bit light on the total because I can see maybe some runs getting on the board. You got a couple guys in there, Gorman, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Yepes, and Donovan, who have decent weighted on base averages against righties. What's your opinion on the total in this game with some decent weather out there in Chicago?
Yeah, and a little concern here about Michaelis as well, because he threw 115 pitches his last time True. Out, which, you know, is not over the top, but, you know, for a major leaguer, that is a little bit more than the norm. So, you know, sometimes those guys can still throw it just as fast the next time out, but the movement's not there, more importantly. So, yeah, I would kind of tend towards the over in that one. You know, even if the winds are blowing in for whatever reason, that number's not that bad, 8.5. So, yeah, afternoon game. Give me some runs over 8.5. Why not?
Out there at Wrigley. All right, looks like we do have the official lineups in, obviously, here. Edmund, Gorman, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Donovan, Dickerson, Nootbaar, one of my favorite guys, Lars Nootbaar, Harrison Bader, and Kinzer there will be in the lineup for the St. Louis Cardinals. And then for the Chicago Cubs, Morrow, Ortega, Happ, Schwindel, Wisdom, Hayward, Higgins, Rivas, and Andrelton Simmons. So if we're looking just from matchup to matchup here, Chicago, not a great lineup here versus right-handed pitchers this year. Only 2 guys in the lineup, Wisdom, 240 ISO power number, and Higgins, a 421 versus righties. Everybody else below that 175 threshold. So we'll see if they can dig that one out. But a slight favorite here. Actually, not really a favorite. Stroman, -110. You got Michaelis at a -106. So when that game starts, actually 221, I'm showing now here on the dial on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So we'll keep you involved in that one. Cobb and Hernandez down in Miami today. And I got to look, San Francisco Giants haven't been playing that great of baseball this year compared to what they were doing last year. Lost that last game at Philadelphia. Shut out yesterday, but, you know, Alcantara has been a sensational pitcher this year. And in the Cy Young markets, Elisir Hernandez, not the same pitcher this year. So a minus 154 here for the San Francisco Giants. I actually took a piece of the Giants team total today. And that one, let me see what it was, 3.5. At a minus 150 price a little bit earlier today. That was on BetMGM. I think the Giants get the four runs. Looking at this game between Cobb and Hernandez, any thoughts down there in Miami for you today, Scott?
Well, this is a close one. By the way, you know, when you were rattling up that Cubs lineup, I'm waiting for Bryant and Schwarber and Rizzo and Castro. And I'm like,
sell them off.
Yeah, sell them off. Get rid of them all. Boy, it's amazing how things have changed in Chicago. But with San Fran, and the key with this one is that they've just been decimated with injuries. You know, four of their top six outfielders all out. Longoria didn't play yesterday. Crawford was a late scratch yesterday as well. So you're talking about the whole basic team of San Francisco. So before I put any money on or against them, I got to figure out who's playing and who's not playing. You know, because you're talking about, like I said, Brandon Belt and Longoria and Crawford. You're talking about their main guy, Slater. So let's check and see who's actually playing before we put any money on that game.
Yeah, the previous game, which they had, they actually scored seven runs but had to get the extra innings in order to do that. That was one of those lineups where I said, yo, what did I actually bet on here? Because this lineup is terrible, not what I anticipated. Actually, for once, those are the games that we talk about, Scott. They say, oh, look at this, terrible lineup. Yeah. I bet the Angels, and they don't have Trout or Ohtani, and they only scored one run. What did I expect here when you hopefully those guys will play? But very rarely do you remember the times that Trout sits out and the Angels score six runs and cash a ticket in for you on that spot. So we'll see what happens. Bigger ballpark down there, 7.5 as a team total, which, again, Hernandez, not a great pitcher by any stretch, and it's still a low, low total in that figure here.
Three hits yesterday, though.
Exactly,
yeah. Three hits yesterday, though. That's why you got to check that lineup before you put any money on that.
Alcantara here. By the way, what is, because I know he's been moving up. Let me just do a quick check here on what his odds are now to be the Cy Young. Let's see. He's at second place now. Corbin Burns is a plus 350. Milwaukee Brewers, which actually Burns will be on the mound today. Alcantara at a plus 650 price ahead of Joe Musgrove at plus 950. Legitimate thoughts on Alcantara? Imagine Alcantara's going to win the Cy Young in the National League. Woo! Hey.
Boy, for the Miami Marlins, boy, that would take some doing.
Yes, that would.
You know, that would. I think Tony Gonsolin has a better chance. Gonsolin, I would take a flyer on.
My goodness, here. What happened in the good old days when Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom were in there?
Yeah.
New wave coming in now. It's Moneyline, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Come back with us after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Moneyline. How about that quick segment? Couldn't even get that quickness out of my mouth there. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside here. If you want to join us at the top of the hour, we got a whole nother hour to go. 844-843-6879 as we peruse down this Major League Baseball card. We're going to hit some hockey in hour number two and also get back to game two, which doesn't take place until Sunday, but I'm going to be on the air on Sunday or till Sunday here. So some thoughts, some fun to get out here. And also, the FanDuel Sportsbook putting up quickly here. Same thing as they had last night, obviously, in game one. Points, rebounds, assists, everything in there. You name it, they got it. So we'll certainly be talking about that. But the weekend is here. Plans being made. Movie guy at all, Scott, are you or no?
You know, not really. You know, a little bit, but nothing crazy, no.
I'm going to see a little Top Gun tonight, a little bit later on here. Tickets for the fam. Sit back. I'm not really a movie guy per se. Every once in a while, when I say once in a while, I'm talking like maybe once a year I go to the movie. So I guess this will be my once in a year headed off. But at least here in the Northeast, we got a nice weekend set up with some weather here, sunny weather, 80s. Yes.
I'm trying to still figure out how his buddy died in the first movie. I remember I was too young. How did he die? I thought they were just doing practice runs or something.
You get caught up in the wash, right? So you're spinning out of control. And now, why didn't both of them get hurt when they ejected out of the seat?
Why?
Why did only one guy? They weren't sitting on top of each other. There's one guy in the front, one guy in the back. Why didn't Tom Cruise hit his head, Maverick, you know?
It's kind of weird. But, you know, Okay. It's amazing. They can't come up with new movies. Like, now everything's just a remake part two, part three. I mean, the idea of coming up with a new concept is, like, so foreign now to these guys. It's amazing, so.
It certainly is. Stepping in the cockpit. By the way, they held this movie for, like, 2 years through the pandemic.
Yes, I saw that.
And finally releasing it. So, see how it is tonight. You know, I'll have to give an update on Twitter, or at least when we get back on the air, when I get back on the air on Monday. A lot more fun to happen here in hour number two on Moneyline. Sports Grid Radio, Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightsack. Come on back.